All right, so this was supposed to be on the last episode, but they didn't get it to me in time. So I'm playing it here and I'm going to answer it here. Let's see.
What's going on? So this question is geared towards a topic you had of men who were like 30 years old or whatever, dating girls who were like 18, 19, right? As someone who worked in the school system at multiple levels, at elementary school level, at the middle school level, and at the high school level. At what point do don't even like my message.
Hold on, he left another one.
I messed up the first time. I'm not good at leaving voice messages. But I do have a question. And the question is based off of how do you restart? Oh my
But we're gonna do a conversation. I'm gonna set it up later this week, but he was basically saying, at what point do we allow someone who is an adult age to make adult decisions? And the reality is 18 plus. But for someone who's older, who knows, people who are 18 all the way to 30 really don't know shit yet about life and what they're going to go through and what's going to pop up. No matter how you look at it, if you are 30 plus talking to someone who is 18, 19, 20, it looks predatory. You know what I'm saying? It looks predatory. Even if that 18-year-old or that 19-year-old could say, I want to talk to this person who is older, you're always going to be at an advantage intellectually, more of y'all financially, experience-wise, wisdom-wise. And it's not fair because that 19-year-old, that 18-year-old has so much more growth to do without you inserting yourself because you've had your own experiences. That sometimes, yes, you can add to their experiences, but sometimes with the wrong person who's older, they can take away from their experiences they're supposed to go through in their 20s. So that was my whole mindset behind it. But yeah, we'll discuss that more on the actual episode. Conversation.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not gonna direct it too much. We just gonna
Oh, Lord.
if you say something that I had a question on, I'm not gonna ask.
Okay.
So this is just gonna be a continuance of what you were trying to explain on your failed voice note.
Yeah, because so look, you know what's bad? What's bad is, and I was just telling my son this the other day. Like, I'm old enough to know how to leave a voicemail,
Yeah.
but I'm so out of practice because you don't leave voicemails anymore. You hit to end it because you remember, there's like a button you can hit to like replay it or
Yeah.
to. I was like, man, I was like, I forgot all that. And my son just looked at me and he said, "Don't tell me you've been converted." I was like, "What you mean I've been converted?" He was like, "Don't tell me you're a YN now. You don't know how to, you don't know your technology." I was like, "Boy, leave me alone."
Well, technology spoils people to not do things that were like regular. Like my mom, I
Regular.
called my mom today. She didn't answer, and her voicemail came on. And it after the beep, it was like silence, and I just hung up because, girl, you know who this is coming back.
I don't remember any telephone numbers anymore.
I was just talking to somebody about that the other day. I said, how many automatic phone numbers do you remember right now? They were like a few. And I was like, a few?
Oh, man. Why are you so silly? Why?
Because this is just what it is.
I don't even know how we met, woman. How did we meet?
TikTok. I don't have to second guess this person's intelligence. It's cool.
Yeah, I know. I was just telling, I was talking about you behind your back. me and a friend of mine, we were comparing our favorite women on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, man, I was like, this woman is so lucky I'm not in Atlanta no more. Because I'd have kicked her door down already. He was like, fool, are you serious? I was like, yeah.
I was like,
I would knock her door down already. She's so lucky I'm not in Atlanta no more. All right, well, let's get into this conversation.
Okay. The conversation is age gap dissected, because we're going to dissect it in a different way.
Yes.
I already did my version of dissecting it on the episode.
Okay. And
the subject I gave this is a at-peace man with a girlfriend.
Very much so.
Okay? Because if you were not at peace, you wouldn't be in it. And the focus is the fact that there is nothing wrong with dating younger. You're good with the age gap relationship that you have. Because that's not mainly the focus. The focus is not, I'm choosing this relationship because of this age gap. The focus is there are attributes about this person who just so happens to be younger.
Younger than me. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. I think my point of view is from a perspective of men who refuse to date anyone around their age range and go 10 plus years younger all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have questions for their mindset of why they do it. Now, you have experience with older around your age. True?
Hold on, say that again.
You have experience with dating women around your age and older.
God, there's no way to say this without sounding terrible.
But I
have experience with not just younger, but my age and older. As far as I was 20, I was 23, and she was 38.
Okay.
And then I've been 30 and dated someone who was 45. I've been 30 and dated someone who was 22. Okay. 40 now, and the current one, she's 25. I have not dated younger than 21. I have not dated younger than 21 without me being under 21, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been over 21 and dated somebody who wasn't under 21. But I understand what happens, if that makes sense. I definitely understand what happens. And it's pretty simple. To be honest, it's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
They make themselves accessible.
Who makes themselves accessible?
Hmm?
Who makes themselves accessible?
Younger women.
Okay. And do you think older women don't do that as much?
So it's not so much that they don't do it as much.
Mm-hmm.
What I believe And to add to my perspective, I also worked in the school system for a minute. Okay. I've done both. I've done elementary school, I've done middle school, and I've been in the high schools. Okay. And, you know, like I was saying, I will never pretend as if there are not predator-ass men. Yeah. That at no point in time will I ever pretend like there isn't that, or that there isn't a collection of men who just, you know, prey on younger people.
And right, I'm not going to sit here and be blinded and deaf at the fact that there are predatory women who are older who go for younger people.
Yeah. So that when the point of view I have is I have watched girls, young girls in the second and third grade try to have relationships with boys in the fifth grade. Like, I've seen it with my own eyes, right? Yeah. I've seen them turn into fifth grade girls who now are trying to date or deal with a boy who's in middle school, just to turn into sixth grade girls who only want to date boys in the eighth grade. Yeah. And then, you know, they turn into eighth grade girls who boyfriend got to be in high school.
Right.
And then they turn into ninth grade girls who, you know, go after boys in the 11th and 12th grade.
Right.
And it's funny to me because as a boy in the 11th and 12th grade, if you're not dating someone in your grade, you actually get chastised. Or if, like, you're in the 8th grade and you got a 6th grade girlfriend, you actually get chastised. It's funny how, it's funny that nuance of it, or what have you. But, you know, then those girls turn into 11th and 12th grade girls who, by this time, that percentage of girls, right, the only guy they want to deal with is someone who is either in college or, you know, 20, 21 years old or what have you, right? It's nowhere near a large percentage, right? We're talking about a small percentage, because most of them are have this, why you? You know, and so it's interesting to me. It's interesting to me when we have the age gap conversations that we tend to leave out how accessible they make themselves. There are girls who are 17, you know, 16, 17 years old, trying to get fake IDs in order to get into a club, because they borrowing their cousin ID to get into an 18-year-old club. You go to an 18-year-old club, are there 18-year-old, 19-year-old guys in there? Yeah, but they're not talking to any of them. They're talking to the guy who's 21, 22 years old who can buy them a drink.
Okay, so let's pause right here.
Okay.
How you went from elementary and we got all the way up to younger people trying to get into a club. Perfect. Mm-hmm. I think this incentive of younger girls seeing the access and the guys in the neighborhood, or the guys that my sister talked to, or the guys that have the money, or the guys that my mom talked to, or how my dad has stuff and he can do stuff for me. Whether a girl who is in elementary school has access to seeing a man and what they can do and what they have, or boys in the community and what they can do and what they can have.
Mm-hmm.
Or remember, we came from a time of, like, music videos, commercials, and real shows that show like day-to-day people.
Yeah, definitely.
These young kids today don't have it. They have a device and what they see, and they think that that's legit. To the point where a lot of kids who are in elementary school, there's no kids show that you can watch where the friends come over and they're actually doing homework.
Yeah.
They are watching a show where kids are just like, you want to go to the mall? And then poof, they end up being at the mall. There's no transition to show how they got there.
Yeah.
It's not realistic. And that gets embedded into kids' minds thinking, oh, I just have to talk to or be around somebody who has that access. And I should have that access too, not knowing that there are years in between getting this access, work in between getting this access. So I think a lot of times, girls wanting to talk to somebody who's older is not new. You know what I'm saying? We all know girls who were in like high school with a 30-year-old boyfriend that came to pick them up from school. The teacher knew, their parents knew. It's kind of like, what am I supposed to do? They're going to end up talking anyway, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, just like the fact that I have two daughters, and one is older and one is younger, I expect her sister to do more stupid, immature things than her. Because she's older, she's wiser. I expect her to have a certain mindset to not do something that she has the opportunity to do, but she knows she's not supposed to do.
That's what I was doing.
A lot of times, even though a teenage girl is positioning herself to be seen and accessed by someone who is out of high school or can drive around or can create this allure of more or betterment, or I'm going to be with somebody that can get me things, not somebody who can just ask me to a dance and you can't do nothing for me. I think society expects the man who is older to have a sense of discipline to be like, I can't talk to her because she's just too young.
She's just too young.
And a lot of times, the battle is, and this is, a lot of people think, oh, girls that do that never had their dads around. You're crazy.
Most of
the girls who and the older have their dads there every day.
Every day.
A lot of fathers don't think this. You raise daughters to say, if a man can't treat you better than me, don't talk to him.
Don't talk to him. Exactly.
But you're not telling your daughter, if a man cannot treat you with respect and have integrity, don't talk to him.
Don't talk to him. Exactly.
Whether or not a man can treat you better than your dad, it doesn't say nothing about his character. And I think that's where a lot of dads are missing the plot. You spend your years giving your child, who just happens to be a girl, everything and making her need for nothing. And you think she's going to get to 18 and not crave that?
Well, I will go as far to say, I will go as far as saying that as a father, you're actually creating the situation you're trying to avoid.
Yes.
Because what you are unfortunately doing is you are training her to judge a man by his gestures towards her.
Yes.
As opposed to
his character.
Like just being a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Like just overall just being a good person. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to make it seem as if I'm like blaming girls for, you know, these situations or things of that nature. I'm not blaming them. What it is though for me and the way my brain operates is you get to a point to where these girls make themselves accessible for these gestures, right? And you get to a point where you get to a point where a particular gesture isn't good enough anymore. Yes. Because you've been dealing with gestures over and over and over again. And so what happens a lot of what happens a lot of times is you, and we're again talking about the non-predatorial situations, right? The guys end up dealing with these younger women because the gestures that they are able to perform is probably a better word. The gestures that they're able to perform are in line with a younger woman as opposed to an older woman who's the same age as him. Mm-hmm. She's had, let's say 15, 20 years or what have you. Mm-hmm. Of gestures already. Nice. So it's like if she hasn't learned to accept this guy who's also 30, mm-hmm. his gestures mm-hmm. in a manner to which his gestures have value to her, mm-hmm. she's dismissive of him.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times I think a lot of times, especially when it comes to men, what we don't get the grace of is liking who like us. Mm. I think there are times where a lot of these conversations, again, we're talking about, we're taking a small percentage and applying it.
Thank you so much for checking out this podcast. Clearly, you like what comes out of my throat, okay? But there's levels to this, okay? Whether you're listening to She Gets It Pod, We're Right with Shan, So What Page We On Be, Cozy Womb Podcast, The Creator Podcast, or Call Me When You Get Off Podcast, or I feel like I'm missing one, The Real Relationship Rapport, or an oldie, Loud Mouth Stereo with Greg. I appreciate you. You matter. Please subscribe. Please drop a review on any one of those podcasts on your favorite podcast app. I am available even on Amazon Music, okay? I appreciate you, all right? You can find me at Shambi Potten on most social media platforms. You can find me on shambipotten.com. where it gives you all of the episode, all of the books, all of the access to the links and about me. And you can find me on Bonfire, Shambi Potten Spot, to buy your merch. There's graphics on there. There's hoodies on there. There's sweatshirts. There's bags. There's mugs. I got it all. All right? And I'm keeping y'all in mind because shipping is fucking high. But I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for checking out my podcast. I do appreciate it. Please let me know what you think. And if you want to contact me at shankencreate@gmail.com. All right, let's get back to this episode.
Across the board. But I think a lot of times what happens is guys learn to like who actually like them. And then we're stuck in this spot where it's like, okay, this person likes me, but this person, because of their race, mm-hmm. because of their age, mm-hmm. or because of their occupation, I'm being told that I'm not supposed to like them by somebody who doesn't actually like me.
This and this, wait, right there. Mm-hmm. That is why I do not understand. And I said this on the episode at the beginning, which is a completely different topic, but I've never been a woman to get mad at what ethnicity a man talks to.
Yes. Yeah.
Because in reality, if that woman likes that man and respects that man and does something for that man, and he likes her, that is none of my business, because she's not taking food off of my plate.
Yeah, I think the topic of that particular conversation, right? I think that particular conversation is two parts to it. It's one is how much that person who has a problem with who he's dating, how much that person don't want to accept the fact that they're not liked by whoever it is that they trying to like, or they think that like not all people are good people. And I think to avoid admitting they're not good people, they have an issue or create these issues on these topics of why somebody don't like them. Oh, they like it because they're black. Oh, you don't like you don't like black women. No, he didn't say he ain't like black women. His girlfriend is white because this person does the same exact things that he do and likes them. And then the other part of it is the other part and the part that I can't stand is I'm all for having preferences. Mm-hmm. But just because you have a preference doesn't mean you get to talk down about what's not your preference.
Okay.
Right? So it's like, I don't care if a black woman dates a white dude or if she dates a Hispanic guy or whatever. I don't care. Now, what bothers me and what I'm not going to sit and listen to is you say that you dating this white dude because black men ain't shit and da 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 and all of that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Date the guy because you like the guy,
mm-hmm.
and the guy likes you back.
Mm-hmm.
It's all what is it? It's all love. It's really one of those things, and I'm gonna speak from a personal opinion. For me, it's one of those things where love is love unless you're a heterosexual black male.
Hmm.
And then it's like, but nah, you have to like X, Y, and Z.
Or you have a fetish if you like.
Oh, you had a, yeah, or I got a fetish, or I got a, or I got a, or I got a kink or something of that nature. Yeah. And it's weird. And it's weird. And it's to the point where I just laugh at it because it doesn't bother me. And it doesn't bother me as in it don't mess up my day and all that kind of stuff. Now, if I got the time to be petty, to go back and forth with somebody, sure, I'm gonna have some fun. But for the most part, he ain't paying your ass no mind. Cause it's just like, it's a stupid argument. It's a stupid argument, and a stupid conversation to kind of get into. Cause I can take the same 1-2% example and apply it across the board just like you can. So it's just, I don't know. I, depending on my energy level and what I got going on for the day, I hop into it, but most times I don't. I just let it be what it is.
I don't. Yeah, I never cared about that. And when you had mentioned that men get to a point where they learn to like who likes them.
Uh-huh.
I would say some men. Because there is a large group of men who claim they don't, nobody likes me, nobody wants me, but then there are these women who like you and want you, but those are not the women you believe you should talk to. In your mind, some men feel like I should be able to talk to this woman.
Yeah.
And then they try to put the attributes and the integrity and the empathy that the women who actually like them have and would give into a woman who would only talk to you if you can do these things for her. Yeah. If you can make your body a tool, yes, y'all can talk. But the moment you cannot make your body a tool or make your hands have access to something that she doesn't, you have no value. And my thing is, you have two choices in this life. You can have this idea of who you believe you're supposed to have and who you're supposed to talk to in your mind, and you can chase that, and you can miss all these great people who are not what it looks like in your vision along the way because they don't look or fit this particular puzzle that you're trying to fit, right? And the reality is, there is a pro and a con with everybody.
And the
people who are trying to look it and not be a good person, look good, but have things that they're not working on inside, they're never satisfied. And when I got to a point where I saw people who are always aiming for something more, something better, something shinier, something softer, something longer, something more money, I'm just like, it don't matter when you get there, you're not going to be happy with that either.
Yeah. We've become, as a whole, we've become, what's the word when you are not able to be satisfied? Is what, insatiable?
Yes.
Yeah, insatiable. We've become insatiable with aesthetics. Like the aesthetics of something.
I like that Prince song that way.
Huh?
I like that Prince song.
Yeah, like we with the aesthetics, like the aesthetics of something has been pushed to the forefront as opposed to what it actually is.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. There are very much so a lot of guys who, you know, they chase an aesthetic, right? But part of the reason why they chase the aesthetic is because the aesthetic has told them that if they have this, that, and the third, or they do this, that, and the third, then they not only get the aesthetic, they get the other stuff that comes. And it's kind of like, I had this conversation with my son a lot, right?
How old is your son?
He's 19. Okay. I have it with him a lot. And what I tried to explain to him is, at the end of it all, what is going to matter more than anything is going to be stuff that nobody sees but you and her. That's what's going to matter outside of it. She's going to spend 95% of her life in sweatpants and a t-shirt. Like, that's what she's going to be in when you see her. She's not going to be dressed up. She's not going to, like, when you see her, she's not going to be dressed up. She's not going to have her hair done when you see her. She's not going to have the aesthetically pleasing things that, to call a spade, just overall look good. Right? What's going to matter is how she makes you feel. If she makes you feel good, then it's okay. Whatever it is that she got going on, and whatever it is that you got going on, if she makes you feel good, then you're okay. Now, if she makes you feel bad, it doesn't matter how she looks.
It shouldn't matter how she looks. But sometimes men stay with women who make them feel bad, but because looks-wise or what she can do in other areas does enough for them that they suffice.
No. That's not why.
Well, tell me.
The reason why men stay with women who don't make them feel good, right? Or when they stay with a woman who, it's just like, it's just, she's not it, right? The reason why they stay with him and they don't walk away is because at the end of it all, we as men, when we walk away from a woman, a lot of times we lose out, or we're taking an L.
But you're taking an L if you stay too.
Exactly. And so we just learn to, so it's really a thing where we learn to, you learn to suffer in silence.
No! But a lot of times
we learn to suffer in silence because splitting from a woman, even if she's treating you bad and all that stuff, a lot of times we've put more into it than what she has. If you notice, most men don't get their shit together until they're in their 40s. Mm. Right? Mm. Most men don't get their shit together until their 40s. And part of the reason why they don't get their shit together until their 40s is because up until that point, any relationship or any woman that we've had to deal with, mm-hmm. for the majority of us, any woman that we've had to deal with, we've had to constantly prove or show that we're worthy to be with.
Yeah.
Right? So we're in the giving. We're on the giving side of the equation. Men actually sacrifice considerably more from a financial standpoint, from a time standpoint, from a things I would rather be doing standpoint. Like, that phrase, happy wife, happy life, didn't just come out of nowhere.
It didn't come out of nowhere. I don't agree with it. I've never agreed with it. But I
remember the first, like, one of our first conversations about that. So, like, I know you don't agree with it, but in the end, you know, for every one of you, there's 20 that's the rule. You know, there's rules and there's exceptions. And so for majority of men, the sanity of their home and the sanity of the place that they're laying their head is really based off of whether or not the woman he dealing with, humping, sleeping with, got kids by, whatever, it's based off of her.
But that's I'll say this, that's bullshit too. And it's not bullshit because what you're saying I think is wrong. I think what you're saying is correct. But we do a sacrifice that is not so much financial, overall, like how men are seem to have to show up for women in order to keep them and maintain them. But we also do a time investing. The financial does it make us look pretty? Does it make us feel softer? Does it make us smell good? Yes. Do we want to do it? Me personally, I'm 50% girly. 50% put me in the men's sweatpants and the teeth.
Put me in the men's sweatpants. Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I don't need to be dolled up all the time to feel like I'm worthy of being. I don't care who likes me when I go outside. I have to be comfortable in me. And sometimes that does something for people when they see me. Great. Yeah. Do I care that it does? No. But some women are just like, I can't go to the grocery store without my lashes. I can't go to the grocery store without my
lashes. So I'm not, I don't want what I said to seem as if I don't understand or I don't recognize sacrifices women make in relationships.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping to highlight, mm-hmm. right, is post a relationship,
mm-hmm.
the sacrifices that men make normally set them back. And because men, for majority of men, don't have someone that can rescue them, the rebuild is all on them.
Right.
Whether you take advantage of it or not, you can break up with a guy and go on the hunt for another guy and be right back to either where you were or in a place better. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you choose to or not, that's a morals thing. That's a inner thing that, depending on who you are as a woman, depending on how you see it, what have you, right? But for a guy, that's what I mean by there's always a setback, because and then to add on to that, a lot of times we're trying to avoid this weird space when you get called an asshole, or you get labeled as an asshole for having standards. So I'm using myself as an example, because I don't know anybody else's particulars. I'm gonna use myself as the example to explain this. For me, in order for me to take you serious, and you not be just any other woman who I can just meet on the street.
Yeah.
I need once a week 2 grilled cheese sandwiches and a pizza. I'm serious. You laugh. I am dead serious. I'm dead serious. 2 grilled cheese sandwiches and a Pepsi is a grounding meal for me.
Why? Mm-hmm.
It just is. It's something that myself and my counselor worked out. Like, I was going to therapy and all that because of the PTSD and all that stuff. And, you know, my counselor was like, look, man, you got to figure out something that helps you stay connected.
Like your vice?
Yeah. That's healthy. That's someone that when you...
That Pepsi ain't healthy.
Huh? You said that Pepsi ain't healthy. But he was like, you gotta have something that the person you're with can do or say or be a part of that they can do that lets you know that they're there for you, right? Regardless of what you're going through. And that they're there when you're ready to come back to them, right? And so it took a minute, but what I realized was, one, I love a good grilled cheese sandwich. I don't need no extraness. Don't put no bacon. I don't need no lettuce, tomatoes, nothing. Just 2 pieces of bread, some cheese. All right.
In a pan.
Not in that fryer thing that you do, not the fake George Foreman thing, but in a pan, fried in a pan, call it a day. It's so grounding for me that I could be having a whole breakdown moment, and you make that sandwich, you bring a Pepsi, and it'll be sitting next to me. Just put it in the room, and I could be having a whole breakdown moment. I will come out of my breakdown. Or when I get out of my breakdown, the sandwich can be cold, the Pepsi can be flat. It does not matter. I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it even if I've already eaten a meal 30 minutes before. It is that much of a grounding mechanism to me, for me, right? And so I have dismissed women because I have told them specifically, yo, like, this is something that if you want us to be serious, this is something I need from you, because this is going to bring me back to you. Mm. This is going to bring me back to you. No matter what it is that I got going on mentally or emotionally, this is going to keep me coming to you. Right. And I've had to dismiss women because the other stipulation to it is, I can't tell you to make the sandwich. I have told you I need it once a week. Right. And then the other thing is like, if you see me kind of spacing out or not, you know, not doing too well or not feeling too well, or you ask me, hey, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'll be all right, or I don't want to talk about it right now. That's your cue to make the sandwich. Right. I have told women this specifically.
So what's the time frame that you give them to show up, or, and then you're just like, okay, this is not going to work.
You said what?
What's the time frame that they have to do the deed before you're just like, okay, this is not going to work?
So the longest I have, so I'll say this, I dated a woman for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And of that 4 years, I got 4 sandwiches made for me. The 14 girls made for me. And the entire relationship was for me, it wasn't that great. But she told me that she didn't understand why I needed the sandwiches. And so because it didn't make sense to her, she wouldn't think to make them. So my response, because I liked her and I wanted to make her happy, I tried to find other ways outside of what I knew I needed in order to make her happy. And it took 4 years for that shit to fall apart. But I was hanging on by a thread. And so to kind of swing back to, you know, what, you know, kind of the topic we're on, it's funny to me, the girl I'm seeing now, I don't have to ask. She comes by and just, she comes in, cooks the sandwich, whether I'm here at the house or not, comes by, cooks the sandwich. If I'm not here, I come home and the sandwich is sitting on the kitchen table. And it's the biggest age gap I've dealt with, whether it's a woman older or a woman younger. It's the biggest age gap I've had. And she doesn't care why I need it. She just knows I need it.
Okay.
You said what?
You said something about 10 minutes ago in this conversation where you said men don't leave. Because they basically have learned how to deal with taking the L while in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I really want men to unlearn that in order to show up as the manliest man you can be, you need to suffer through it. In order to be a good father, you just need to provide. In order to have a marriage with challenges that withstands time and is something that your family can look up to, you're probably going to be in it and you're going to be unhappy, and you're going to have to be okay with being unhappy. Because if there was a study that actually gave a fuck about how many men would have lived longer if they found more joy in the choices and the decisions of the people they have in their lives, I think they would see that they would have lived longer, more healthier lives if they just were honest about this might work for you, this might work for these kids, but I haven't been happy in here since year three of this relationship, since year three of this marriage. This okayness that a lot of men swallow by just saying, hey, I'm a man, our happiness doesn't matter, is eating up your time, is eating up your empathy, is eating up your compassion, is eating up your presence while in moments that you're actually supposed to enjoy with your family. It's kind of like on the outside of your body, yes, you've had a year, but because of how you're feeling and how you're neglecting your needs for everybody else, maintenance, you've actually put 5 extra years on your body because you're neglecting yourself in order to make other people outside of you happy.
Yeah, but the hard thing to deal with is the fact that we are groomed to have this thought process that it's part of being a man,
and that's what y'all need to unlearn.
But here's the other part to it. It's hard to unlearn when part of being the protector is protecting you from yourself. So there are men who take the brunt and take the blame and take the fault and all of that stuff because they care about these people around them, and they understand that if they understand that they can't tell this person that you're not making me happy, because the idea or me telling you that you are the problem is going to cause you to implode, and the last thing that I want to see is you implode. So I take it to avoid you crashing out, as the kids say.
And that is the problem. Just like going back to that father and that daughter, where I had an episode this past season telling men and women, the issue with men and women today are the males and the fathers who are around their daughters telling them that they could do no wrong, whatever they want, just give it to them.
Exactly.
That's pacifying. What you just said is pacifying. And what you're perpetuating is a woman who will never be accountable because she doesn't have to, because men don't want to have to deal with her feelings. Men don't want to have to deal with making someone that they care about sad, even though they're making you feel like shit on a daily basis, making you show up lesser than who you could possibly be on a daily basis. My point is, men eating bullshit from people around them that they constantly work hard to make sure their lives are stupendous is ruining the foundation of what society could be for everyone to be on their best level, because you're constantly allowing people to steal your joy for the sake of being able to have theirs with no accountability.
It's a difficult thing for a black man to do because of the backlash when do it. There is, you can be called controlling. You can be called closed-minded. They have everything. They have all of these words that these words and these phrases and these things that they attack you with when as a black man, you attempt to say, hey, listen, this is not good. You should not do this. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. You're wrong for this. You're wrong for that. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much the avoiding of the feelings, because I would say, like, I'm 40. I would say in the last 20 years, mm-hmm. right? Like, since I've been adult, the amount of understanding of feelings that black men have has significantly increased. Like, right. we understand feelings. We process some feelings. We're going to therapy, like all of that stuff, right? But the difference that I see is we have black men who go to therapy and then attempt to exercise what they learn in therapy. Because men don't just go to stuff like that for show. Yeah. Like, because we're being told by our woman, you need to go to therapy. You need to go to therapy. You need to unheal from this. You need to unpack this. And so what do you do? What do we do? We go to therapy. We unpack it. We talk about it. What happens is the discussions and things, it's very nuanced on where we can go or be or who we can say these things to. Mm-hmm. And so it's because, you know, to kind of circle back around, it's kind of like we have to go where we're accepted.
She Gets a Pod will be right back after this message. It's fall again. Everyone's going to be bundled up, hiding inside under their coziest sweaters, under their favorite throw, watching their favorite show. Because most people like fall, like me. You're supposed to be with people you care about, people you love, people who make you laugh. But what if you don't have those people? That returning dark cloud might be back. You don't feel in the mood for fun. You're missing people because, you know, you just don't want to be the victim again. You don't want to be the reason why everybody's sad or everybody stops having their fun because you're feeling a certain type of way. So you're quiet about it. But some of us need professional help that can be found on our phones or online. And when you're looking for that, you can always check out our sponsor, BetterHelp, and see what options you have to speak to someone and be heard, because we all have things that we're carrying that's a bit heavier than the next person. And usually fall time, when it gets a bit darker, when less people are available because their schedules are so busy, we need someone to talk to. So if you're looking for a safe place to just have someone to talk to who can professionally help you with the tools to work through your thoughts and feelings, try our sponsor, www.betterhelp.com/shegetsit. You can get 10% off your first month, so stop worrying and get the help you need today. Now back to the show.
Mm-hmm. But the goal where the conversation we're trying to have is accepted and we're being listened to be understood, as opposed to try to fit somebody's narrative that they have. And I think that's where the issue, you can try to instill discipline, mm-hmm. right? But the difference between a man who's instilling discipline and a man who's just controlling and demanding is really whoever's on the other end of who's listening to it. Because I can say, hey, like, I could be dating one woman and she's got two kids, and I could be like, look, this is not right. Mm-hmm. You need to be doing da 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 da. and then I'm gonna do da 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 da, and the kids need to do da 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 da, and I can lay it out, and one woman looks at it as me instilling discipline into her life and all of that stuff, and another one to say, why are you so demanding? Why are you trying to control me? You can't tell me what to do with my kids. They my kids. They da da da, and so like we are selective. Very, very selective on, or I should say with, where we kind of put that stuff in.
But that's the gamble of it. It's kind of like I could be in a relationship with a man who sees what's not structured in my life and how structure would help me and have that conversation with me. And it's the level of respect that I would have for that man to be like, you know what? I'm going to try what you just said. Yeah. I'm going to try what you just said for a month. And it is up to me to be like,
to decide what it is, right?
Let me tell you what the guy that I'm currently dating told me I need to start doing in the household. Well, why he telling you how to raise your kids? That is my problem with whatever friend I'm on the phone with. Because even for me now, being single and whoever I'm in conversation with, when I'm done being in the conversation with that man, I have a decision to discuss what was discussed with that man. If I'm thinking about something, friend, what type of friend am I calling to have this discussion with? One who's okay with cheating on her man that does everything for her, or one who is also with the standard of value and looking for a good man who will help her life become better and would understand where I'm coming from with this conversation. You have to pick the people who you are getting
your
thoughts from wisely. And a lot of times why certain relationships who do have the proper ingredients to be great don't get great is because you're trying to get feedback from a person who doesn't even have the value system to give you the okay.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny that I have found out? I have, at least this my personal opinion, what have you. To me, what's funny is women have this wide range of friends that they get to choose from to have this, you know, that they can have. I'm gonna call her because she gonna validate what I feel right now.
Yes.
And I can call this one. I'm not gonna talk to this one because I don't
tell me people where I fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Guys don't have that. Guys don't have that. We don't have different friends to give us an opinion or whatever that we're looking for. Like,
some of y'all do.
Okay. I will say this. I will say guys who are in position to where they got like a lot of dudes like following them.
Mm-hmm.
So like an NBA player, right? And just because they just easy to use as an example, like an NBA dude, he got a couple flunky friends that's just there to just stroke his ego, and he might have one to be like, nah, dude, you fucking up, and then they got another one that's like, yo, you blowing too much money, right? But your regular everyday dude, he don't have this multitude of friends. He doesn't have a multitude of people to where he discuss relationship type stuff with.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 2-3 friends, whether they are single or whether they're in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to say the same thing. If you are messing up, they're going to say, yo, that's on you, bro. You've done da 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 da,
which is not helpful.
You've done da 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 da. Like, yo, make up your mind. What is it that you want? If you're going to leave, leave. If you're going to stay, stay. If you're going to stay, stop doing da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it is helpful because what you're getting is you're getting somebody who, one, is going to tell you what you need to hear as opposed to what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And two, not going to take it personal when you don't do what they say. Right? Like, it's weird because I've talked to women who have stopped being friends with another woman. And the reason is because
okay, so pause. This is where I have to stop this episode because I don't want it to be too long. I'll add on part two, but I understand what he's saying. I'm hearing him out, okay? This is a listening ear. I do not pick sides, okay? I hear people out. And I have my own thoughts. We will continue this conversation. I hope you listen to the next episode. Peace.